live, he's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, we continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Hour number two of our radio program coming up 20 minutes from now. Jeremy Kahn will join us, talk show host Morning Drive on The Fan in Baltimore. Chris Trapasso is still to come at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, and you will hear our conversation once again with the Pro Football Hall of Famer DeMarcus Ware coming up at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. So I'm reading this article during the break via our friends at Pro Football Talk, and the headline is this: report, Packers are disgusted with Aaron Rodgers and they are done with him. What a headline that is. And before I read you the actual details of the report, you just wonder what the heck happened in the last year. Because last year at this time, it was, oh, Bob Gutekunst and also Brian Gutekunst and Aaron Rodgers are friendly. And that they made like big strides in their relationship. So like that's a part to me that you just wonder what the heck happened this year. And it has to be more than, okay, you know they drafted Love, then they mend defenses, they gave him the contract extension, right? Before that, he wins the two MVPs. It can't just be, oh, they missed the playoffs this year. So now all of a sudden, they're disgusted and appalled with Aaron Rodgers. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. And I know Rodgers says some crazy things in the media, and now he's, like, getting ready to embark on this darkness retreat. But are they really, like, that mad about the darkness retreat? No. It's early on in the offseason. So, like, I'm trying to figure out what from last year, because I don't think it could just simply be him not making the playoffs is why they're disgusted. Is it the way that he handled or didn't have the best relationship with those young receivers? Like, that could be it. Is it him not showing up to the voluntary events in the offseason? Like, you could be mad at that, but they're voluntary for a reason. So don't get me wrong. Rodgers at times could be a pain in the butt. He could be obnoxious. But is there anything that they could really be disgusted with him about? Outside of not making the playoffs this year, no. But it's not like I could only blame Rodgers for the reason why they didn't make the playoffs this past year. So let's get the exact report here and try to figure out what we think is true or false in this reporting. So it's Bob McGinn, who has covered the Packers for decades. This is via Pro Football Talk. He said in a podcast with Ty Dunn, who does a phenomenal job, does all these long features covering the NFL for his website, golongtd.com. So McGinn said the team is ready to move on from Rodgers. That part, I absolutely believe. And remember, the last 2 years, we have kind of been leading the charge that Rodgers was going to stay in Green Bay. When every other person, every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the media was saying, he's going, we had friend of Aaron Rodgers, former teammate of Aaron Rodgers, and still to this day, very close confidant of Aaron Rodgers, John Kuhn, on this show. And it made national headlines because he said there's a 75% chance that Aaron Rodgers was going to be back with the Packers. And everyone ran with it because it was the first person close to Rodgers to just speak in a positive way about Rodgers' future. And a few weeks ago, we had John on this show. And I said, does this year feel different? And he said, absolutely. So that's telling. And he said it's 50-50 if he's going to be back. He was 75% not that long ago. They eventually get that extension. He goes on to win the two MVPs. And then a few years later, 50-50. And this feels different than the last 2 years. And I've made this analogy before. Rodgers and the Packers right now are a couple that have been together for over a decade. They at one point had a great life. They have all these kids. They have a ton of money. But the relationship got stale. And you don't love that person as much as you once did. And Rodgers knows the divorce is coming. The Packers know the divorce is coming. But you don't want to upset anyone. You don't want to be viewed as the bad guy or woman in this case. And you don't want to be the first person to put the nail in the coffin on the relationship. But you know, both parties would feel better about themselves if they move on. Rodgers, he's got to know he's not going to win another Super Bowl with the Packers. Remember, 13-3, 13-3, 13-3, came up short. Now missed the playoffs. So if you're looking to win another Super Bowl, I don't think it's happening in Green Bay. And for the Packers, you drafted Jordan Love, even though that was a questionable decision, a decision I did not agree with. But you didn't expect that Rodgers go on to win two MVPs, and now he regressed this year, and they didn't make the playoffs, and you're probably cognizant of the fact that you're not going to win a Super Bowl again with him. So if he's only going to play two or three more years in the NFL, let's say, you may as well capitalize, have him go somewhere else. You hand the baton over to Love. We'll see if Love is going to swim or if he's going to sink. And that's not an easy spot taken over for Favre to Rodgers, where you know the standard is going to be Super Bowl, Hall of Fame jacket. But at least you're going to get the draft capital back instead of him just retiring in 2 to 3 years and nothing's going to change it the way that we look at Aaron Rodgers. So I do believe that the team is ready to move on from him. So I agree with that reporting by Bob McGinn. McGinn goes on to say they're done with Rodgers, citing his own instincts, his knowledge of the league, and discussions with someone who has firsthand knowledge of the Packers. He's not coming back. I mean, they're disgusted with him, and they're done with him, and they're moving on. So once again, here's the question that I have. Why are they disgusted with him? Like, there's a difference in where you want to move on. But when you say you're disgusted with someone, that's like they can't even look at him, and it's really personal. Like, let's just say Carlos Ortiz, who is a very amicable person here at CBS Sports Radio. Like, everyone likes Carlos Ortiz. There's some people that you don't necessarily like that you work with. I don't think we could find one person that works here on a daily basis at CBS Sports Radio that has something negative to say about Carlos Ortiz. But let's just say if I was feeling some type of way and I'm like, oh, Carlos did something and I don't want him to work on the show. Like, that's one thing if you just say, I don't want him to work on the show because he did something innocuous, like you didn't play a break correctly or something. And it's like, oh, I don't trust Carlos, which isn't the case. I do trust Carlos.
Give it 3 hours.
Yeah, that is true. Well, I actually heard that you had to have a stern talking to by DA because one of your shifts, the first hour, you didn't do all that great. But then DA gave you a stern talking and then boom, you shot right out of a cannon.
That
you were wonderful.
Not what happened.
Hours two, three, and
that
four.
That is not what happened.
Oh, really? That's what I heard through the grapevine.
Oh, the grapevine is absolutely wrong.
Oh, so then what happened?
No, I knew it was a rough hour. So
yeah.
I actually caught him during the break. I said, DA, my bad. I'm sloppy. I'm
going
to clean it up, and I'll take care of it. And we had a near-perfect show the rest of the way.
Which, by the way, with your background, being a military man, that does not shock me that you take accountability if you mess up. But there's some people around here, not saying any names. You know, it's a Friday. It's a fabulous Friday. I'm in a good mood today. I don't want to mess with anyone. But there's some people around here, it's like, oh, you did something wrong. No, I didn't. No,
I'm
I didn't.
Jack Stern.
Oh, no, no, I wasn't even going there.
It was the first drop I had.
But you're not wrong. That wasn't the name. I was thinking of a different name. But that is funny that you played that name because I had a little encounter with Jack this week.
It's weird because I'm one of the few people that I actually like him.
I like Jack. I probably shouldn't say this on the radio, but you lowered the bait and I'm eating it. I saw Jack the other day, and Jack is talking about Colorado football, and he is just raving about how great Colorado football is going to be. And when I'm trying to leave the studio after doing a show, the last thing I want to do is get caught up in a conversation that I know is going to be a 25-minute conversation. So I'm trying to figure out, how do I get out of this conversation? And I go, oh, do you think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, because he messed up the name on the update, is going to catch a touchdown for Colorado? And he looked at me. He's like, what? He's like, I never said that name incorrectly. And I just goes, oh, I heard you botched up an update. You messed up an update where you called him Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And the problem is when Jack Stern says a name incorrectly, Ivan can never say the name correctly again. Like Kirk Herbstreit, that I had to pause there for a second. I always want to call him now Kirk Herbstreit because he messed that up. So Jack claims that not only did he say the name correctly, but management praised him for that update. And not only that, he claims the DA show alters and edits the updates so they could use it for content.
I need management to weigh in on this.
Which, first off, all that stuff I take with a massive, and I mean a massive, grain of salt. Because there is no way DA and Mraz and Bilotti and both, like, you're giving those guys too much credit. If you think they're waiting for Jack to do the update correctly and then they're editing him and somehow making him say things that he claims he never said. So you made me go down this rabbit hole here, Carlos. This is on you. You know, this is on you.
That's what a good producer does, right?
Yeah, well, you basically now opened up Pandora's box. There is no doubt about that. So that's what Jack said to me. But it's very simple. We were talking about accountability some way. Now I'm going to transition and just move on. But, like, you have to take accountability. And for Rodgers, he never takes accountability. But if you're sitting there and you're saying you're disgusted with someone, like, if you mess up and I don't like the way that you responded to that, I'm like, oh, he just can't work on the show. Again, like, I still may say, oh, yeah, Carlos Ortiz, though, is a good guy. Like, Carlos Ortiz is a good dude. He just isn't a fit on the show. But to say you're disgusted with someone, that means that they did something so egregious that you can't forgive them and they don't even realize what they did was so egregious. So, according to this report, it's that, and it's not just one person. McGinn, the reporter, said the entire power structure is done with Rodgers, CEO Mark Murphy, general manager Brian Gutekunst, and coach Matt LaFleur. They think he's not working hard anymore. They think he showed up for 2022 not in the best possible shape and that he blew off the offseason program. So, like, that's the part. If you're paying this guy so much, and I, like, haven't realized Rodgers showing up in bad shape. Like, he looks the same to me. But if they think that internally and they call Rodgers out for it and they have reasons, like, documented reasons that show this stuff, and he's just like, ah, not a big deal. Like, how dare you guys say this to me? Then I could see why they're being disgusted. So it goes on also in this report. McGinn adds that he is totally convinced Rodgers won't be back as the starter. So he goes on in this report. Because you're reading all this stuff at first, you're like, oh yeah, they're just going to trade him. But McGinn believes that if Rodgers does insist on returning to the Packers, he'll be the backup to Jordan Love. Now, every other thing that I've read so far here, like, you could have questions about showing up in shape or not, but the premise of the report is the Packers are ready to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Like, that I fully believe. But if you're going to tell me that if Rodgers is back and he chooses to return and then the Packers say, we don't want you, and Rodgers says he still wants to be on the roster, I can't see how they're going to say, Rodgers, we're going to start Jordan Love. Like, at that point, if that's the case, you're then hoping Rodgers says, bleep you, which you have every right to do so, and then he leaves the team, and then you just suspend him and you don't have to pay him. Like, that's what you're hoping for at that point. But it's very simple. Like, Rodgers has showed signs that he doesn't want to be there anymore. The Packers have showed signs that they don't want him there anymore. So, if this comes to the point where Love and Rodgers is both on the roster next year, then you're starting Aaron Rodgers. But if this is one of those things where it's like, we don't want you, but Rodgers still wants to be there, you have to trade him then anyway. So it's very simple what needs to happen. Once this darkness retreat ends and Rodgers comes out of wherever cave he's going into, and all of a sudden he goes, I want to be a Packer, I don't want to be a Packer. The Packers, maybe they have been already, and you've kind of heard in the McAfee interviews, like, they're already making moves with, like, Adam and all that stuff, and some of the reporting. They need to just be honest with Rodgers, and maybe they already have. But if they don't want him, they have to come out publicly, and they have to say, We're moving to Jordan Love. We're going to trade Aaron Rodgers this offseason. But if they then do want him, they have to come out and say, Rodgers will be a Packer next year, and he's going to be our starter. That's all I ask. And ultimately, when this decision is made, I really do believe, and I have not thought this the last 2 years, this is not just some hot take radio, and I'm just saying things for clicks like all you idiots think we do. Like, if you listen to this show, you know that's not how I operate. I do not believe Aaron Rodgers will be back with the Packers next year. Now, if I said, like, I don't believe he'll be starting, that's then going into that whole Jordan Love nonsense that they'll both be on the roster, they'll start Love over Rodgers. That will not happen. I don't think Rodgers will be the starting quarterback next year, and I don't think Rodgers will be on the Packers at all next year. He'll be starting somewhere else. I think it's pretty clear if you kind of follow what's going on when you look at this relationship right now with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. But how about that? That is some report that the Packers are discussing with Aaron Rodgers. They're done with them. And even going as far to say that if Rodgers wants to come back, they would start Love over him. Like, I got to read that one more time just to make sure I didn't misread that. And it's not just one person, McGinn said. The entire power structure is done with Rodgers. Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst, and Matt LaFleur. They think he's not hardworking anymore. They think he showed up for 2022 not in the best possible shape, and that he blew off the offseason program. So that is why they're disgusted with him. McGinn predicts that if Rodgers does insist on returning, he'll be the backup to Love. You know what? That's not what I'm hoping for this offseason. That Rodgers is back, and the Packers try to say that he'll be the backup. Because that, to me, that would be pay-per-view stuff. I would pay to see that fight and be a fly on that wall, buzzing around bzzz, when the Packers tell Rodgers, oh, you're back? Yeah, you're the backup. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We get the latest on Lamar Jackson, where Jeremy Kahn does a great job hosting on The Fan in Baltimore next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
I'm just going to say it. I'm not a popular man these days in Baltimore. Last night, 86-year-old Bob in Baltimore called us, and he just went off on me for saying I was being disrespectful to Baltimore. And I gave him like three or four opportunities to answer how I was being disrespectful to Baltimore. And he just kept on talking in circles. So I had to hang up on an 86-year-old man and kind of yell at him. Just part of the business when things go the way that they went last night. And all I said last night was, with all the crazy reports and the ambiguous reports and the conflicting information and what you hear from Lamar via Twitter and what you hear from the Ravens publicly, is that I don't think it's likely that Lamar Jackson gets a deal done this offseason. And I do think it's inevitable that he's going to be traded. Now, you may not like that opinion, because if I'm a Ravens fan, I'd be like, screw this guy. I get it, because you want to see Lamar Jackson be the quarterback of the Ravens for the foreseeable future. But whenever you talk about people's football teams, they get very, very sensitive, especially when you give them what I think will end up being the truth. So let's go to Baltimore right now. Hema, welcome in a friend. I don't know if you could say he's a friend of mine anymore. After all these people are telling me like I'm the worst person in the world from Baltimore, that is the co-host of the Big Bad Morning Show from 6 to 10 a.m. on The Fan in Baltimore. And that, of course, is Jeremy Kahn. Jeremy, how you been?
I'm good, man. Put some respect on Baltimore's name when it comes out your mouth. Hey, you got your first dose, or at least maybe it's the first recognition you had from, we call him Bob in Parkville here in Baltimore, but he's been calling shows here for, God, probably 30 or 40 years.
Now, he reminds me a little bit of like Omar in Brooklyn on The Fan. Now, Omar is not as old as Bob, but Omar will just call you and yell, and you'll have like no clue what he's talking about.
Yeah, Bob does that quite a bit. I've had a couple of run-ins with him. He's a really, really nice guy. Really passionate about whatever, you know, the topic is, especially some of his icons growing up. But growing up in Baltimore, I didn't have a football team. They left when I was 4 years old, and I became a college football fan, so I was a huge Peyton Manning fan. And I just happened to say, whoever drafts him, that's going to be my football team. Meanwhile, while he's in college, the Ravens come to town, blah, blah, or the Browns come to town. Rest is history, and I'll never forget what he said to me, because we got in an argument over Peyton Manning. And he told me I was riding side saddle for him. So I don't know what that meant at the time. I was trying to look it up, but I kind of have an idea where he was going with it. to bust my chops a little bit. So don't feel bad.
It's all right. I didn't take anything personally. I actually liked him. I liked the phone call because it was fun. It was different. And it was this guy. I'm 86 years old. I love Johnny Unitas. And you're disrespectful to Baltimore, mister. Like, I thought it was funny.
It's great. I always love when, the local callers we hear. We've got a couple of really interesting ones that I'm sure you guys get all the time. But when you hear the local guys go national, it's funny to everybody here.
Jeremy Kahn here with us. So a few weeks ago, it was like 200% that they believe Lamar Jackson is still their franchise quarterback, and Harbaugh kept on speaking positively about him. Then you have these conflicting reports. He was involved in the offensive coordinating search. He may have not have been. And then there was that other report out there when talking about Lamar Jackson that they can't even guarantee that he's going to be on the team next year. What do you think the truth is of that situation? Because this is a frustrating part for me, and I'm sure Ravens fans as well. There's one thing being discussed, but there's like six or seven reports about that one thing.
Well, Baltimore radio is kind of like Groundhog Day, isn't it? We wake up hearing Sonny and Cher, and we talk about whether or not Lamar is signing, where he's going, if they would trade him, all these things that are going on. And to be honest, I don't know that anybody really has a grip on it because like, we've heard so many different conflicting reports. We had the one out at CBS saying that, you know, Lamar wasn't involved in that offensive coordinator search. And then a local reporter said, yeah, they let it be known that he can be involved in it multiple times, but he didn't say whether or not he showed up for those or if he had any input to it. So I really don't know what's going on. The only thing that we know is that the Ravens have five picks going into next year's draft. If Lamar is drawing a line in the sand, which I mean, I can't even say that he's done that as far as what he wants guaranteed money-wise, and if the Ravens aren't going to give it to him, I think it makes total sense to trade him. But you know how it is. I mean, if you're a team that doesn't have a franchise quarterback, you're sorely missing one, and you'll do anything to find one. So I fully expect that the Ravens do trade him, that they get a huge huge haul back, a couple of first-round picks, and maybe even more.
How likely do you think it is that he gets traded this offseason?
I mean, I'm a betting man. If you ask me to bet, I would say he gets traded. And I don't have any, like, inside knowledge of it. Just by seeing what's going back and forth, we've talked about the Instagram messages that have been put up, some of the things that people read too much into. There was a lot of brushback by fans that thought he should have been back sooner from the injury, and maybe it wasn't diagnosed properly when it was supposed to be 1 to 3 weeks. Was there any placating with his contract? Which I don't think there was, that he was, holding out because of that, because he wants to be out there and he wants to win. But, there's a lot to it, and I feel like there's layers here as far as the guaranteed money goes, which I'm sure the NFL doesn't want him to get that type of deal, but I'm sure the Players Association would love it.
Yeah, and the other part about this, too, like, when they first tried to do this extension now, 3 years ago, I understood why he didn't take it, Lamar. He already won a unanimous MVP. You got to see what Josh Allen was going to get at the time. We thought Baker Mayfield was going to get an extension too. Last year, it didn't make sense to me why they didn't get a deal done. And then you hear the things from the Ravens. Oh, it's up to Lamar when he wants to get a deal done. And like Lamar shows up, he's like, yeah, I'm ready to get that deal done. If they don't get the deal done this offseason, and this is a third go around where nothing happens, then I don't think they'll ever get the deal done, Jeremy.
Yeah, I don't think there's a possibility for that because you look at it, they're going to give him the exclusive tag, right? So that's $45 million. If they got to go another 25% higher than that, and plus it seemed like he was a little disgruntled that he didn't get the deal that he reportedly wanted with all the guaranteed money in it. And then you see guys like, for a longest period of time, we were going, okay, who signs first? This is how long ago this was. Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, or Lamar? Because all three of them were up for contracts, and then we saw Josh signed, Baker fell apart, and everybody's going, well, what's going on with Lamar? Now we're getting to the point where other quarterbacks are coming up. So, does Herbert get an extension? We just watched what Jalen Hurts did. What happens with Joe Burrow? So, there's a lot of guys in this kind of vicinity, and, you have to pay the market value for a quarterback, and I think we're getting to that point. But I'm just wondering if there isn't something else behind the scenes that we don't know about. Because, we haven't got a definitive answer from one side or the other saying, yes, we want him back. He will be here. We're working towards this.
The other thing to me, and it doesn't appear like they're anywhere close, but when I saw the report last week when we were on Radio Row at the Super Bowl, Jeremy Kahn's here with us, they're $100 million off. Like, that seems to be, like, way too impossible to believe.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. And I think that maybe there was something to be said if you're looking at, they want to sign him to a 5-year deal and he wants a 7-year deal.
You know,
if there's something to that effect, I know, again, I have no knowledge of that, but that's the only thing when we discussed it on our airwaves that kind of made sense is if the years were off and that's where you're talking about the money. We always knew the guaranteed money was off, but that was always going to be an issue. And I really do believe a team like the Ravens, who I think are, you know, one of the better franchises in the NFL, when you start looking at how they're run, Steelers, Patriots, Packers, like, I mean, there's these groups of teams that you would look at and say, hey, they're acknowledged as being run very well. If they gave a fully guaranteed deal, what that would mean to the rest of the league, especially some of these other quarterbacks coming up. So, you know, all bets are off. I don't know that it'll happen.
Well, that's a good point that you bring up. But we talk about the Ravens. They usually get the benefit of the doubt. Are fans at all starting to turn on the Ravens because they say, hey, we want to keep Lamar Jackson, and maybe they are lowballing him on an offer?
Yeah, well, the past 3 years it's been, or, you know, you can say 2 years plus, it's been, is it the offensive coordinator? Is it the system? Is it the players? What's going on? The Ravens need a wide receiver, blah, 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 blah. Like, all these things, and everybody wanted to know what the problem was. All I know is that I'm not a guy that puts wins and losses by quarterback's names, but when I watch him play, if there was anybody I was going to do it that carries the bulk of what the offense needs to get done, it's that guy. And if I've ever seen a franchise, I think he's way better than people give him credit for running. The one thing I'll acknowledge is the past 2 years he's been hurt, and that's not good going into what you want to get in a guaranteed deal. But I really think Lamar could play, so it'd be nice to see them get something done, although I don't assume it will.
Is it a disservice to Lamar that they haven't got him a bona fide number one wide receiver, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, they've been trying. So the Hollywood Brown, the you know, and of course going out and getting Rashad Bateman. There were rumors that they were in on DeAndre Hopkins, but I mean, what were you offering if Arizona got him for a second round pick and a washed up running back? So was it an autographed Joe Flacco Super Bowl helmet or something? I mean, what were you offering that was less than that?
Yeah, so, that's not an elite price if you're giving up a Joe Flacco football.
No, I mean, so it is. I mean, it's I like the elite work in there, yeah, but it is
pun intended, by the way.
It is funny to just think about this because, you know, people here really like Bateman, and they traded away Hollywood, and I think it was a great trade for them because he didn't want to be here, and then you get a first-round pick back for it. So they got to figure something out there, though.
Here's what I don't get about the Marquise Hollywood Brown thing, Jeremy Kahn. Like, he wanted out multiple times, and it seemed like the Ravens were honest with Lamar throughout that process. And then, like, you get to draft night. We didn't know all that stuff. And you see Lamar clearly annoyed on Twitter. It's like, why go there if they kept you in the loop on all this stuff?
Yeah, well, he said it was when he tweeted out, and I remember the comment was talking about that he had sent out that it had nothing to do with Hollywood at that point in time because Hollywood was already in Arizona. We were all going, when the heck did that happen? Like, nobody here had any idea that any of that was going on, so they did keep it under wraps, but... I feel like there's some sort of disconnect with the team and him. And again, no inside information on that. It's just they don't seem to be on the same page when a message is being put out.
So do you believe, Jeremy Kahn, that the injury was why he did not play this year in the playoffs? Or is there more there just because it was weird? I've never seen a player be the one to announce that he wasn't going to be playing in a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd like to believe that he was hurt. So, I mean, I'm going to roll with that. And knowing his character and seeing what he's done here for years, I don't think any differently than that. But it is a kind of a tough call, and it's a bad spot because some fans were yelling that, and they believe that he was holding out because of the contract.
The way how quickly the Roquan Smith extension did play out, was that like is that a message to Lamar in any way?
Well, the even funnier part of that is that Roquan Smith doesn't have an agent, and he did it himself. And the whole big thing about Lamar was you got to have an agent to get it done. And then here comes this guy. It's like, yeah, I'll take that. Where do I sign? And he wraps it up. So I think something had to get done because the Ravens want to be left holding the bag with one franchise tag and two free agent players that you have to decide to keep. And we all know they would have kept Lamar if they couldn't have found a way to move him for something.
Well, Jeremy Kahn, I appreciate you trying to tell all the folks in Baltimore to kind of like just lay down a little bit and not just absolutely destroy me or continue to destroy me. And I appreciate you coming on today.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. And hopefully I didn't muddy the waters with the Lamar talk because we still don't know what the hell's going on down here.
Yeah. You know what? You did something that was very intelligent on your behalf. And that's why you're the local host in Baltimore. And I don't have that experience being here from afar. You kept on just going on out there and saying, like, I don't have the inside information. I think there's a lot of Baltimore fans that are annoyed with the media because they're talking about this and presenting it as if it's facts.
Yeah. And nobody knows. Nobody's heard anything. So, I mean, there are some people on the inside that have information, but I don't know if it's like this, that, you know, fully telling everybody what's going on.
Well, Jeremy, I appreciate the time. Thank you. Have a good night.
Anytime.
There you go. Jeremy Kahn joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's take a break.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio.
Zach, thanks for taking my call. I have to admit you are the best there is at what you do. And that's why I'm calling to ask your opinion about this.
Here's Zach Gelb.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Eric Bieniemy has been with the Chiefs since 2013, and now he is no longer part of the Chiefs organization, as he's off to be what is the official title of the assistant head coach and offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. And according to Adam Schefter, it is, in the words of one source, a promotion in title, contractual status, multi-year, and annual pay raise. So people are going to ask, why is Eric Bieniemy leaving the Kansas City Chiefs for what most people, regardless of what Schefter just said, is viewed as a lateral move? Like, he is now the title of assistant head coach and offensive coordinator in Kansas City. In Washington. What he's been able to do before in the past as the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, you would think he would only leave Kansas City for a head coaching job. But I actually get the move, even though it's risky, but it can pay off for Eric Bieniemy. We have now talked about Eric Bieniemy for the last, what, better part of 4 years, let's say? Like, ever since winning that Super Bowl, then they lose in the Super Bowl, they lose in the title game, then they win the Super Bowl. So we've been talking about him for pretty much 4 years, maybe probably fair to say three, about how is this guy not a head coach? And he should be a head coach. I don't know why he isn't. Some people will say it's his race. Some people will say it's because he doesn't interview well. I don't know what the answer is. But with the resume that he has and the success that he has in this league, you would think he has done enough to get hired by one of the other 31 NFL teams, because you know Kansas City is not going to have an opening with Andy Reid. So you would think another team would hire him. Like, we had 10 jobs open last year. No one hired Eric Bieniemy. This year, I think he only interviewed for one, and there was only 5 jobs available, and he didn't get hired. So when this was after the Super Bowl victory, okay, you didn't get a job then. Then after they lose in the Super Bowl, you didn't get a job then. Then they lose in the AFC title game, you still didn't get a job then. So that's like 3 straight years where you don't get a job, and now make it a 4th year. And last year, like, part of me was like, okay, I think he'll get a job. But heading into this hiring cycle, I'm like, well, he hasn't got a job the last 3 years, so what makes me think the 4th time's going to be a charm? So I never thought for a second this offseason that with only 5 jobs being available, that Eric Bieniemy was going to get one. It doesn't mean I don't think he's deserving of one. I absolutely think he's deserving of one. I actually want to see him get a head coaching job just so we can get an answer on what he'll be like as a head coach. But to see him now get passed up for 4 straight off seasons, and really going back to last year when it was 3 straight, I didn't go into this one expecting anything different. And kind of the push for him to get a head coaching job and the conversation became stale. So if you're Bieniemy, there is a major risk in leaving the Chiefs, because you're going to the Commanders. As much respect as we have for Ron Rivera, they may start Sam Howell next year at quarterback. Now, Sam may turn out to be this great quarterback. There was a time people thought he was going to be a 1st-round pick. He ended up going in the 5th round. And who knows, with what you probably think is going to be the eventual sale of the Commanders coming up sooner rather than later, if the new owner that comes in is going to even want to keep Ron Rivera. Now, if he doesn't want to keep Ron Rivera, maybe he hires Eric Bieniemy. But when I look at this, if your offense doesn't perform well next year, I then think there's going to be people, and I don't think this would be fair, because it's very quickly to then just turn your tune on Bieniemy, that people just go, up, doesn't have Andy Reid, up, doesn't have Patrick Mahomes, shouldn't be a head coach. So that is the downside of this risk. But the upside is, if you just have a competent offense, like, you don't need to be great, in my opinion. You don't need to be good. But if you just have a competent offense with the Commanders, and that's all they needed last year was competent offense, they probably would have made the playoffs. Like, the Commanders and Jets are similar, where you look at both teams and you're like, all right, I know there's a stench around both those organizations, but they have good rosters. And last year, right, you had Wentz, Heineke. It was moving all over the place. Then they had to go back to Wentz, which they should have never done. Then Howell plays the last week of the season. He plays well. In an NFC that is wide open, you could make the playoffs next year. But if you lead that team to like 9-8 and the offense plays well, what else are people then going to say to take away from Eric Bieniemy? So I see the upside, and I hope we talk about this on the way that the risk is going into it being the upside of this time next year. It's, wow, Bieniemy did a good job. And Bieniemy now, you know, even though he's been deserving of being a head coach, he has proven away from Andy Reid, away from Patrick Mahomes, he could be really great, which is ridiculous that he even has to prove that because, you know, Adam Gase, oh, I'm friends with Peyton Manning, oh, you get a job. Nathaniel Hackett, oh, Aaron Rodgers likes me, oh, you get a job. Right? Like, that happens. There's a lot of guys that get hired whose resumes pale in comparison to Eric Bieniemy, and those guys get hired. Now, with that being said, because it'd be hypocritical if I didn't point out other guys that have been unqualified, but then have had success. Like, I talked about Matt Nagy. I talked about Nathaniel Hackett, right? You go through those names, Adam Gase, who got two jobs, two head coaching jobs. Remember when Nick Sirianni was hired? Nick Sirianni wasn't even expecting to get an interview with the Philadelphia Eagles. And he didn't call the plays in Indianapolis, but he got the job. And now, 2 years later, he almost nearly won the Super Bowl. But when you look at the resume and how many changes there are in the NFL, I asked the question and I don't know what the answer is. Why isn't Eric Bieniemy getting hired? And if you want to say it's because he's with Reed, it's because he's with Mahomes, there's guys that don't have anywhere close to the resume in the same position as Bieniemy is in that get hired. So, like, that's not good enough for me. So I understand why Bieniemy is doing this, because it's okay. You want to tell me that I'm not getting a job because it's Reed and because it's Mahomes? I'll go work with Ron Rivera, who's respected, but he doesn't really do much on the offense side of the ball. So I'll go run that offense. I will be the face of that offense, and it's a risk. It's a gamble, because yes, you have Terry McLaurin. Yes, you have Jahan Dotson. Yes, you have Brian Robinson Jr. And assuming Antonio Gibson's still on that roster, like, you got some pieces there. But it is risky, because if, let's say, Sam Howell stinks, or they go and make a move for another quarterback this year and he doesn't work out, what are people going to say? Oh, it's on Eric Bieniemy. Like Carson Wentz, for example. If Bieniemy did this last year, it was stupid that the Commanders traded for Carson Wentz. We killed that move on this show. I laughed and fell on the floor and then could not believe, and I could not control myself when I found out what the details were of that trade and what the Commanders gave to the Colts. I thought it was an Onion article. If Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator last year for the incompetence of Carson Wentz, is that Bieniemy's fault? No. Absolutely not. Wentz failed in Philadelphia. He failed in Indianapolis. And to no surprise, last year, he failed with the Commanders. But you know it and I know it. For whatever the reasons are, people haven't given Bieniemy a job. So they're going to be looking for validation. And if he goes to the Commanders and 1 year, regardless of who plays quarterback or not, they don't succeed, people are going to say, see, that's why he shouldn't get a head coaching job. Because without Andy Reid and without Patrick Mahomes, what does he do? So there is a risk in doing this, because people are going to be looking for you to fail rather quickly. But what I hope happens is Bieniemy goes to the Commanders, they make the playoffs next year, whoever the starting quarterback is, the offense is an asset not something that's taken away from the team. And then after that, if he doesn't get a job, it's like, why wouldn't you hire this guy? So there is a big risk here. But for Bieniemy, this is what you probably have to ask yourself. I've won now 2 rings in Kansas City. I've done all I could under Andy Reid and working with Patrick Mahomes. I would think he wants to be a head coach. I think that's pretty clear. So even though I am winning right now, it's not getting me that head coaching job. So I think he realized, and I give him credit for this, because that's not easy, because that's a guy that should not have to go move to go be an offensive coordinator somewhere else to try to set himself up to a head coaching job in this league with what he's done. But I think he was realistic and understood what was being said about him. He goes, okay, let me go to the Commanders. Not a desirable organization. They need someone to run that offense. I'll go do that, and I believe in myself, and I'll bet on myself that I'll have success there. And if he does, no one will have a damn thing to say in terms of why he isn't getting a job. Because if he has success with the Commanders and he doesn't get a head coaching job in this league, then it's no longer a mystery why he's not getting hired. Because right now, I don't know why he isn't getting hired. But every excuse that you would have why you're not going to hire Bieniemy would be thrown right out the window if he goes to the Commanders and has success. And I'm rooting for it that he has success, because I want to see him be a head coach one day and just see how he does with how much we talked about this for the last 3-4 years. It is the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we'll hit you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment The News Brief.
Passengers, fasten your seatbelts. We are about to experience a blizzard of free money.
That's right. Deposit a couple hundred bucks into your BetUS account and get into the action with $450. That's $250 more dollars than you started with. I know. Crazy, right? Sign up today at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS. Be like me. Bet for free.